Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Erecting statues can be a risky business, as in the ancient instances of the Golden One, 90 feet tall, that Nebuchadnezzar wanted everyone to worship with unblinking vigils. The Bar Kokhba revolt began when Hadrian erected on the Temple Mount, of all places, the statue. Statues of Jupiter and himself. This is recorded by the historian Cassio Dio, who also claimed that the Iceni and Trinobantian tribes of Britain rebelled with an army of 100,000, chiefly for economic reasons, when Seneca called in some loans that they owed. It was a powerful show of force, but one doomed, not unlike the Confederate army. The Victorians were fascinated with the queen of the Iceni, Boudica, and erected Thomas Thornycroft's tremendous statue of her in a chariot along the Thames in 1850. It would be foolish to remove that statue now to avoid offending Italians. It would be foolish, too, to tear down the St. Gaudens statue of General Sherman in Central Park. He burnt a lot of things, but he also built a lot of things. And the provocative iconography of his horse trampling on Georgia pine cones is mitigated by the allegorical figure of peace leading the horse, a lovely young girl whose model was an African-American, Harriet Anderson. In a final analysis, whether statues are of stone or of bronze, all of them have feet of clay, like the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, because all people do. By the by, if there is a statue that is remaining and it is in New York City, yep, New York City, that is of General Sherman, don't Georgians have a right to demand that it be removed, especially those who are survivors of those that were killed or maimed on Sherman's march to the sea? We've got a lot of iconoclasm to get to here today. After the Civil War, Robert E. Lee, son of Washington's generals, urged that no monuments be erected to figures, however noble, so as to smooth the way to peace. It was only on the 50th anniversary of that war that monuments appeared on a big scale. When a freed black slave stunned the congregation at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Richmond by kneeling at the communion rail, General Lee caused more of a stir when he knelt beside him. Descriptions vary, but there seems solid substance to the story, and its image in words is better than any in bronze. Lee did not even want a statue of himself at his Washington College, where he spent his last years promoting the liberal arts and classical virtues. In one letter, Lee wrote, quote, "All I think that can be now that can be done is to aid our noble and generous women in their efforts to protect the graves and mark the last resting places of those who have fallen and wait for better times." Close quote. These days, the latest hysteria is the toppling of statues by immoderate and ignorant people. Someone as bereft of a knowledge of history as some media pundits and politicians has even vandalized a statue of St. Joan of Arc in the city of St. Louis, apparently under the impression either that she was a transgendered Confederate general or a symbol of that ultimate scourge of the vandals of culture, the Catholic Church.